Greetings, friends, family, neighbors, and strangers. I'm Pastor Jacob Kokura of the LaRange Alliance Church. In this period of uncertainty, I'm glad you've taken some time to listen to me today. We are living in a time unlike any we've known in this generation, but we can take hope. Despite the struggle we are enduring right now in this experience of turmoil and sickness, we are not alone, for Jesus is with us. People around the world have experienced periods of uncertainty like the one we are experiencing now, and they have endured, and I believe that we have much to hope for in the days to come. Overcoming. A simple Google search turns up a lot of different results for the word overcoming. There are people who have overcome all sorts of obstacles in their lives, from drug addiction to crippling illnesses, from terrible upbringings to remarkable tragedies. Overcoming is a word used to inspire someone to write a song or film a movie about, as some variation of overcome or overcomer is the title of many songs and several movies. There are websites filled with tips on how to overcome all sorts of things that people struggle with, and people who have based their entire lives around teaching others how to overcome things that they have overcome. For the Christian, the concept of overcoming is one we find in the Bible in a few different places. But in no place is it more prevalent than here in 1 John chapter 5, which is our passage for today. Join me as I read from 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In 1914, war was breaking out in Europe as the Germans' blitzkrieg attacks began to overwhelm their neighboring countries. At the start of the First World War, Germany hoped to avoid fighting on two fronts by knocking out France before turning to Russia, France's ally. The initial German offensive had some early success, but there were not enough reinforcements immediately available to sustain momentum. The French and British launched a counteroffensive at the Marne in September of 1914. And after several days of bitter fighting, the Germans retreated. Germany's failure to defeat the French and the British at the Marne also had important strategic implications. The Russians had mobilized more quickly than the Germans had anticipated and launched their first offensive within 2 weeks of the war's outbreak. The Battle of Tannenberg in August of 1914 ended in German victory, but the combination of German victory in the east and defeat in the west meant that the war would not be quick, but protracted and extended across several fronts. World War I might have had a drastically different result if not for the fact that the Allies were able to defeat Germany in a decisive battle early in the war. Historians say that if the Germans had been successful and only had one fight on one front, it would have been a very different world we would live in today. But instead, the Germans were defeated during the battle at Marne, which ultimately led to the Allies' eventual victory declared in 1918, years later. What's interesting to me is to consider that although that early victory was won, and it led to the eventual defeat of the Germans, there was no indication early on that that would be the result. We now know that the decisive victory may have come early near the very beginning of the war. But that doesn't mean that the battles that followed weren't desperate, painful, and terrible. The Battle of Somme is regarded as one of the most terrible interactions that humans have ever endured. And that happened in 1916, 2 years later. Even as the war drew to an end, the Battle of Amiens started in early August of 1918 and lasted 100 days before the armistice was declared in November. The steps between the early conflicts and the eventual victory in World War I were complicated and difficult. Even after that early victory at Marne was won, the day when the war was over was a long time in coming. If I could tell you today that all your struggles, all your pain, all the discomfort of your life was over, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear that nothing would ever bother you again, that life would be easy from now on? Unfortunately, we all know that no such promise can be made. We continue to deal with difficult circumstances and the harsh realities that life can bring. When we read passages like this one in 1 John, passages that talk about victory and overcoming the world, it's important for us to put in this idea into context. And what I mean is, would it be a mistake to read this passage and think, if I believe in Jesus, all my troubles and cares will be done with, because I have overcome. The reality is that our passage does not mean that the victory proclaimed eliminates the difficulty of the journey that we live. The decisive battle, as it were, has been won. But the victory won by Jesus indicates the end result, not necessarily our current experience. When we read, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world," we should not think, "Nothing in this world can bother me anymore," but rather, we should be aware God's victory is assured. And so no matter the hardships I endure, I can have peace and trust in Him because He has already won the victory. Let me put it another way for you by asking a simple question. What sort of consequences have you experienced when you fail at something? What happens when you make a mistake? Or perhaps what happened when you made a mistake as a child? We all experience failure, and we all make mistakes. And the experiences that we have when we make those mistakes or fail vary. When we, when we experience positive reactions, we are encouraged, to try again. We are comforted and uplifted. We have people who laugh with us, which relieves tension and lets us relax. These are positive reactions to failure, and they help us grow. But sometimes we experience negative reactions when we fail or make mistakes. We are discouraged from trying again. We are belittled and scolded. We have people laugh at us, which makes us feel foolish and embarrassed, and this brings shame. When we experience positive reactions, we learn to be determined to get up and try again. But when we experience negative reactions, we learn to give up and no longer try anymore. Let me explain how this idea connects with our passage today. If you are struggling with a sin and continuously make mistakes, let's say you struggle with lust or you find yourself being heavily judgmental. If you only experience negative responses, either from yourself or from Scripture or from the world around you, you'd feel shame. You'd feel guilt. You'd feel powerlessness, which would lead you to give up trying to overcome these sins. And perhaps you might even abandon your faith. If you instead understood that Jesus' love for you does not end despite your failings, that He has overcome the world already, that the battle He fought for us on the cross over sin and even death has already been won, wouldn't you feel more encouraged? I imagine that if the soldiers who fought early in World War I, if they knew that the battle won at Marne in 1914 would lead to victory in 1918, how much easier they could have endured the hardship and trauma of the rest of the war. If they knew that ultimately the victory had already been won, how much easier might it have been to move forward despite the challenges and heartbreaks that lay before them. This is what the Lord's victory means. This is what this passage we read here in 1 John means for us. That Christ has overcome the world is wonderful. It means that we no longer need to live in shame and fear because Jesus has already won the victory. The necessary battle has already been fought. And yes, the battle wages on. The battle that we wage against sin and against darkness is real. Because the truth is that we are not yet fully free of the sin in our world. But the victory is won. And we have, as we have faith in Christ, we can live in that victory. We can live in hope instead of despair, in peace instead of turmoil, in love instead of fear. We can live in the knowledge that Jesus has overcome and our mistakes no longer need to bring us any shame. We need to learn to get up and try again, no matter how often we fall. I think it's important for us to acknowledge why this letter was written. Remember that John wrote to a group of believers to ensure that they would be encouraged, that they wouldn't be confused by those who are promoting a false understanding of the gospel, and that they would be able to stand on the truth of who Jesus is. If you are in need of encouragement, I believe there might be no greater reminder that Jesus has indeed won the decisive victory, and that in faith we too overcome the world. In the Gospel of John, we read the conclusion of John's account that he wrote. He wrote down this record of Jesus' actions and words so that readers would believe in Jesus. We read in John chapter 20, verse 31, these stories are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Similarly, John declares the reason for writing this letter, the first John, here in chapter 5. John writes, I write these things to you who already believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. John's words here should build confidence within us, should reassure us of the gospel's truth. There are a few places within Scripture that clearly tell us how salvation works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are given a simple summary of the gospels. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That's what happened. That's the story of the Gospels in a summary sentence. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul tells us what to do with that information. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the truth that Jesus himself proclaimed, as we read in Mark chapter 1. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the path of salvation, believing that Jesus came, lived, died, was buried, rose again to life, ascended to heaven, and as we repent of our sin, believe in Jesus, call him our Lord, we gain salvation, access to the kingdom of God, and eternal life with Jesus. Over the years as a pastor, it's been challenging to walk with people who know these verses, who have proclaimed Jesus as their Lord, but consistently doubt whether they're in. There are Christians who struggle because they have forgotten the truth that the victory is won. If we live life as Christians in the middle of this war, it might become difficult to remember that the victory was already won earlier in the war. The decisive battle on the cross has already determined the end of the war. We live in the midst of that journey. We live waiting for the armistice to be declared. And while we do, we stumble and we make mistakes. Our sinful ways make us pause and ask deep questions, just as these believers that John is addressing seem to do. These questions we ask that they ask are valid. But we must live in the knowledge of Jesus' victory instead of in fear. Let me read again for you from 1 John chapter 5. This is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And that life, this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know and have eternal life. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. My friends, I can't think of anything more encouraging for a believer to dwell on today. My hope for you is that when you are feeling like the battle is overwhelming and that you can't seem to continue, that you would turn to this passage. When you feel like the mistakes are piling up and that the world is dragging you down, that you'll turn to this passage. When you feel uncertain that Jesus has accepted you, that you belong to him and his kingdom, turn here to this passage. I pray that you will dwell closely on this truth, that if you believe in the name of Jesus, you have eternal life, because he is truly God, and he has overcome the world. And so, we come to the end of the first letter of John. It's been wonderful to read carefully through this letter with you. Over the next weeks, we will take some time to read the key passages from that we find in second and third letters, the second and third letters from John. And I hope that you'll listen to those messages as well. For now, let me leave you with this. If today you are listening to this message and you do not yet know Jesus, if you have not proclaimed Jesus as your Lord, then please join us as we journey in becoming like Christ. Commit your life to following Jesus, to obeying his commands. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and invite God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit to become the core of your life. If this is something you'd like to learn more about, I encourage you to get in touch with me so we can talk more about what that looks like. As I close today, join me as I pray. Lord Jesus, I am amazed by the simple truths that your word confirms for us. In Jesus, we have hope because you have overcome the world of sin that we live within. In Jesus, we have security because you have conquered sin and death on the cross and given us access to the kingdom. Lord, in your resurrection, we praise you. We do not need to fear, for you have given us not a spirit of fear or of shame. You have redeemed us, and we can celebrate this new life that you have given us today. Grant us strength so that we might obediently follow you. And as we learn what it means to become more like Christ as your followers in this world, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Today, I pray that you would meet each of us where we are, that we would allow you the room to speak to us, and that as we turn and listen to you, that we might find joy and peace in you as we rest. I pray that you would restore us from the physically, emotionally, and spiritually drained places that we've been living within, and that wherever we are, Lord, that we would experience your comfort so that we in turn might comfort those around us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I praise you, O Lord, and I pray. Amen and amen. Thanks so much for listening to me today. I look forward to the next time we might actually speak together again. And for now, I pray God's blessing upon you as you go.